verse I want to read in closing, Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. We mentioned this morning different occasions by some of the brethren about the delight that God had in his Son. The scriptures seem to center around that theme, I thought. And I enjoyed it. And it's written here in the 8th verse, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. But I want to make a remark here that you may not have heard. Complacency is not the same as communion. Complacency is not the same as communion. And those words, I delight to do thy will. We rejoice to hear those words. We know that the Lord fully fulfilled them perfectly in his pathway down here. His every act emitted a savor to God, a sweet savor. But when that passage is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, those words are not fulfilled. They're omitted. It does not mention, I delight to do thy will. This quotation? Did the Spirit of God make a misquotation here? Impossible. Because the thought in Hebrews 10 is different. It's not God's having communion with his Son during the hours of darkness. Divine complacency, Christ was never more acceptable to God than in those hours when he was accomplishing the will of God in relation to the judgment of sin. He was still in the bosom of the Father. But from a past eternity, this work was before the holy soul of the Lord. I believe that he looked on to that work from a past eternity. And as our brother read, as the hour approached, when he, the Holy One, who knew no sin, abhorrent to his nature and his being, was going to be made sin. The storm of God's wrath would break in all its fury there at the cross. The sacrifice consumed the fire, burnt itself out. That is not communion with the Lord. with God. Complacency? Yes. God was satisfied with that work of His Son. Communion was broken. Sometimes we hear, the Lord was not forsaken of the Father. I've heard that for many years. And it is true, but when we come to the judgment of sin in the person of Christ, it's not a question of the Father. That is not the subject. When it comes to the judgment of sin, it's God dealing with sin in its terrible offense against His holy nature. It's not a question of communion between the Father and the Son in the hours of darkness. And so, this morning, brethren, we each in our measure, and I feel how small the measure is with me, that we stood by the Jordan River. We looked down and we saw those stones buried there under the waters of Jordan, the picture of Christ in death. There they are unto this day. There we see the Lord Jesus in the depths of sorrow and anguish and forsaken of God. Our brother read the verse, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and billows have passed over me." You and I will never be able to pray that prayer, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because no matter how far we've got away from the Lord, He will have mercy and restore. We can never say that He will forsake us. But on the cross of Calvary, Christ said those words. What did He mean by that? He meant that union that He had enjoyed uninterrupted from a past eternity. Never was there one moment when that communion was not perfect. And enjoyed in its fullness throughout the Lord's life down here as well. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane. We spoke a lot about Satan at this conference. You know, I feel, brethren, that Satan made assaults upon the Lord different times. He was defeated in the wilderness, so that a strong man was bound, and he went out to spoil his goods and to deliver people from all the results of Satan's tyranny. But at the Garden of Gethsemane, Satan made his last assault upon Christ. He knew what it would mean for the Son of God to go to the cross. And Satan pressed upon the soul of the Lord the consequence of bearing sin. That was pressed upon the Lord by Satan. We sing in the hymn, recalling it, all the waves and billows of God's wrath and Satan's power. We've been studying in Ottawa the Gospel of Mark, and we remarked that at the end of the Lord's death, God allowed man to display all that was in his heart. This is your hour, and the power of darkness, as never before in the annals of eternity, was there a power of darkness than at that period of the Lord's life, when man displayed all that was in his heart. God did not intervene. God allowed man to have full reign and to do what he wanted, to display what was in his heart. And it came out. You think of all the ignominy and shame that the Lord endured. The crown of thorns and the scourging, which was very painful. But all those things the Lord bore patiently without any retaliation. Without any retaliation. He was dumb before his hearers. And so, brethren, when we come to remember the Lord, let us bring before our souls the cost to the Lord of being made sin for us, of exhausting the judgment of God in the hours of darkness, God dealing with him as he would with sin. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, you don't have the words, "I delight to do thy will." Why not? Because there it is, the sin offering. We've spoken about sweet offerings, sweet savor offerings this morning, several times. But the sin offering was not a sweet savor offering. And it all went up to Jehovah. But the Lord had no delight in being made sin, and taking our sins upon him. That was not a delight. It was abhorrent to his holy nature, but in love that many waters could not quench, he finished the work. And this morning, whenever we remember the Lord, we go back to the scene of Calvary. And we remember, not Christ as he is in the glory now. Mr. Garvey said, "Whenever I remember the Lord, I think of a dead Christ." And so should we. And so thanksgiving comes forth from our hearts, although Lord's Day morning meeting is not described as a worship meeting, but it's a meeting when we remember the cost of our redemption. When we look back to the scene of Calvary and we see the Holy One in obedience to his Father's will, that was paramount, bearing the awful judgment that our guilty, filthy sins deserved, exhausting it as the sin offering, consuming the fire. Remember, they were not to take that lamb and salt it with water. Remember that in Exodus chapter 12, they were definitely not to salt that lamb in water, because then it would not feel the effects of the heat. If we say that the Lord is having communion with God in the hours of darkness, we're really sodding the lamb in water. No. God had to pour out unmitigated the wrath of his holy nature against sin when Christ took our place and made our sins his own. Therefore, we must bear the awful judgment for them. Well, may the Lord help us. You know, the remembrance is a picture of the Lord. I have a picture of my mother at home there on the wall. And I look at it. That's not my mother. But it reminds me of when my mother was with me. And so that's what the remembrance is. It's a picture of the Lord, not as he is in the glory now, as he was under the judgment of God. Now, of course, this brings forth thanksgiving from our hearts. Well, may the Lord help us to remember these things. There were 12 stones that were brought up out of the River of Jordan, you remember, and put in Gilgal. Also a picture of us. We have died with Christ, so we're represented in those stones under the waters, but there were 12 stones brought up and put at Gilgal, Joshua chapter 4. And then they were made into a monument on the shore of the Jordan. And that speaks of our death, stones in the midst of the Jordan, of our death. Those stones that were brought up, our resurrection with Christ, so that we can walk in newness of life and be a testimony of what he has done and live, as our brother said, to praise and to honor him in our pathway down here. Thank you.